Billy complimented my children's sermon because I told him, if you rag on me, you're up here next. So I'm just saying. Glad you're here with us this morning on this chilly morning. Isn't this crazy? You know, we had the air conditioner on this week at the house, and then I had to flip it over to heat. So, but glad that you're with us this morning. If you are our guest this morning, we especially are glad that you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. Hope you feel His Holy Spirit in this place and the love of His people. And I invite you, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you. I invite you to fill that out. There's a box you can check. I'm new to Wiley Methodist. You can give us whatever information you like, but I'd love to know that you were here and would like to meet you at the end of the service. We're having some baptisms at the end of the service. I'll talk more about that in a moment. But after that, I'll be down at this end of the foyer and have a gift for our guests and would love to meet you. I really and truly do hope you feel loved in this place and hope you feel welcomed here. I'll talk more about the baptism in just a few minutes. Also, keep the registration slips going, or you can also register online through our Wiley Methodist app. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Beginning in verse 11. Begins with the words of John the Baptist. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. You know, this is the only, well, it's the only one. It's the first moment where we can capture the Trinity. It's all right there, all together. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's all the Trinity. God is demonstrated and is active and present in all three forms of the Trinity in this scripture. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We have invited you. I feel your presence. We pray that you would speak in power and with authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm starting today a two-week series on the sacraments. Now, we don't talk a lot about that word, the sacraments, so I'm going to unpack that a little bit. The first thing, I think there's a slide there, Dennis, we can go to. The first thing is it's a means that God uses to demonstrate His grace, and it's received by the believer. Now, I don't know if you can see that, it's kind of small, but God's grace up at the top, you've got arrows flowing down through baptism and communion, which are in the Protestant world, that's what we recognize as sacraments. And they are means by which the believer receives God's grace. It flows down, His grace flows down through those sacraments to us. Okay, that's good. I'm not sure y'all can see that slide. But there also, I just want to kind of just a few little points here. And I talked earlier about the wedding ring being an outward sign of love that Cheryl and I have for one another. It's the sacraments are an outward sign of an inward grace and how God feels about us. It's an outward sign. It's sacred. They are sacred Christian ceremonial practices instituted by Jesus Christ to symbolize or confer God's grace. So he is, and I think it's really important for us to hear, instituted by Christ, that Christ set these up for us to do. The Protestant church recognizes, as I just said, it recognizes two sacraments, baptism and Holy Communion. Just for some of y'all come from different backgrounds, perhaps the Roman Catholic or perhaps the Greek Orthodox, they recognize seven sacraments. They are baptism, confirmation. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on all of those, but I'm just kind of defining that. Baptism, confirmation, the Eucharist, which is the Lord's Supper, matrimony, penance, holy orders, and extreme unctions, also known as last rites. And so they would call those sacraments in those in the Roman Catholic or Greek Orthodox Church. I'll let y'all decide what you believe, but the reason that the Protestant Church just has baptism and communion is because those were specific things that Christ instituted for us to do. He didn't tell us all, in fact, just the contrary, he didn't tell us all that we need to be married, okay? And that's why, I mean, in fact, Jesus said, and Paul said as well, if you can remain silent, if you can remain silent, that's what you do when you're married, if you're the husband. I'm just kidding, Cheryl, I'm just kidding. Y'all know she's brutal. She's a slave driver over there, you know? But if he, okay, somebody get me back on track here. If he doesn't call, he didn't institute marriage, that's something that we need to do. But he did say that we need to be baptized if we're a believer in him. He did say that we need to partake of the Lord's Supper and remember his sacrifice when we do that. We'll talk more about that next week. So today's message, I'm going to focus on baptism. I'm going to focus on baptism. Now, some of y'all, in fact, I actually had somebody send me this video. A couple of people mentioned it to me this week, but I've been planning for months to show y'all this video that I'm fixing to show you. I love this. Just watch this little boy get baptized if you hadn't seen this.
This morning, who have accepted Christ as his Savior and as his Lord, and he will demonstrate his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by willingly being baptized this morning. He's been waiting on this day a long time. And so, Jordan, upon the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go, George.
Now I'm baptizing a few today. I want that kind of reaction. Isn't that awesome? That little boy was so excited to be baptized. It's not just the act of baptism, but it's understanding that Jesus loves us. He loves us. And it's putting on that ring that reminds us of that outward sign. I promised last week that I would tell y'all, I'm pretty sure I'm the only pastor in the history of man that has done a nude baptism. I'm not positive of that, but were you here last week? Did you hear me promise to tell my nude baptism story? Everybody's going, man, this guy's radical. All right, here it is. I had only been pastor a few months back. This was back in probably in 2002. And we had a family that was coming in, and the wife had been baptized. The dad had not been baptized and accepted Christ. And they had a 10-year-old son, and they had a little 2-year-old son. And dad wanted, at that time we have a baptistry now. At that time we didn't. We had a horse trough. I mean, it was a holy horse trough, but we had a horse trough. And Dad wanted to be sprinkled. We're going to talk about these different ways here in a minute. Dad wanted to be sprinkled. The 10-year-old boy wanted to be immersed. And I forgot to ask what we were going to do with the little infant. So we were out here in the foyer and people up on the stairs watching and everything. And so we sprinkled Dad. And I remember asking them, hey, what do you want to do with your little 2-year-old? And they said, I don't know. Why don't we? I said, let's do Dad and brother and see what he wants to do after that. So I sprinkled Dad, and big brother climbed over into the tank, and we immersed him, and we're getting him out of the tank and drying him off. And then everybody started laughing. And I'm like, well, really, that's not the reaction I was thinking about. And I turned around, and this little 2-year-old had stripped down. And he's crawling over into the tank with nothing but what the good Lord gave him. And Mom's eyes were about this big around. And she didn't say this, but I could read her mind. She was thinking, oh, my gosh, help me. Lord, help me. What do we do now? And I remember, I mean, he was in the tank, and it was tubby time, man. I mean, so I just said, well, he came into the world. Now, how many of you were here that Sunday? A few of us were here. I think y'all were all. I think there was only like 6 of us back in those days. I said, Lord, the Lord's brought him into the world naked. We're going to baptize this little guy naked. So down he went. That's my nude baptism story. I'm sticking to it. Baptism. You know, this is one of those sermons that there's so much there that it's a theological, you know, it really takes a lot of theological talk and study and all to really come up with what we feel about baptism. My view of baptism has grown over the years. My understanding and what I think the Lord's heart is for that. So let's talk a little bit about baptism this morning. So the first is baptism is a sign of God's covenant with us. It's a sign of God's covenant with us. And I want to say here that and there may be some of you that was raised in a tradition where that you believe differently about this. I'm welcome any kind of visiting about any of these things that I talk about. But the water, from what I read of Scripture, the water doesn't save us. There's nothing magical. It's just tap water. There's nothing magical about the water. And you know, it would be simple if we just had a checklist. It's like, do this, do this, do this, and you're going to spend eternity with Jesus. It's not like that. Jesus wants relationship with us. He died so that he could have relationship with us. The water is a sign of God's covenant with us. Now, it goes all the way back, and I talk about this. We're going to actually do an infant baptism today, so I want to talk about that for a second. But that goes all the way back to the Old Testament with Abraham. Abraham, God had established this covenant with Abraham and with the people of Israel. And the covenant was basically, I'm going to be your God, and I want you to be my people. And I'm gonna bless your nation. It's gonna be a mighty nation. You're gonna have more descendants than the grains of sand on the shore, and more than the stars in the sky. And so I'm gonna be your God. You're gonna be my people. And a sign of this covenant is gonna be circumcision. Now it's interesting. I've said this. I'm trying to think like Abraham. He was 99 years old when God established the covenant of circumcision, and he said, "I want you and your son." At that time, it was Ishmael. He didn't have Isaac at that time. He said, "I want you and your family, and I want all of the males to be circumcised." And Abraham was 99 years old, and I can just imagine him going, "Say what?" It's not in the Bible, but that's what I think he was thinking. Say what? But it was a sign, Think about this for just a second. The shedding of blood. I mean, circumcision is not. I mean, it's a medical procedure. I mean, there's blood involved. The shedding of blood was a sign of this covenant that God had made with His people. And you can switch forward all the way to the New Testament. The shedding of Christ's blood was establishing the covenant that we have, the new covenant. So in Romans 4, it says it this way. Abraham received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So it wasn't the circumcision that saved Abraham. It was his faith. His faith saved Abraham. And the circumcision was a sign of what he already had, was faith. And he remained faithful to that covenant through observance of the law. If we bring that forward to the New Testament, we see that it's our faith in Christ, the shedding of His blood, and we have faith in that. That's what saves us, is His blood through faith in that. And then baptism is a sign of that covenant. So everybody kind of shake your head if you're somewhat following me. Okay. Well, so it's a sign of God's covenant with us. Now, I want you to notice that it's not about something, and this is where I've grown really quite a bit in the last couple of years. I think many of us maybe are in this camp, I had always seen baptism kind of as something we do. Yes? I mean, something we do. It's like, I made a decision, I want to be baptized. It's something I'm doing. It's like, well, yeah, that's a piece of it, but if you dig down deeper, it's about something that God has already done. He's initiating the covenant. He initiated the covenant with Abraham. He initiated a covenant with you and I through Christ. So it's a sign of this covenant that God has made with us, and He's involved. In fact, not only involved, but He is the initiator of that covenant. And so as we look at infant baptism, and I know many of you may have grown up in a tradition where you didn't do infant baptism, Scripture, number one, Scripture does not mandate us to do infant baptism. It's not there. But there is precedent for infant baptism. If you look at, with the Old Testament, if you look at the sign of the covenant, God told Abraham, bring every male child 8 days old, bring them to receive the sign of the covenant. Now 8 days old, I don't believe there was any of those children going, hey, you know what, I think I'd like to receive the sign of the covenant. No, it was mom and dad presenting that child to receive the sign of the covenant, to come under this covenant that God Himself had initiated. So it's very similar to infant baptism, where the parents present through their faith, the parents present the child to receive the sign of the covenant. There's still, if we look at Scripture, there still needs to come a time when that child comes of age where they still choose and profess faith in Christ. Is that making sense? Theologians have been talking and debating over these things for 2,000 years. It's interesting to me that what we know as the Great Commission comes from Christ, and this is after He has died for our sins, He's been resurrected, and before He ascends back to the Father. He says this to us, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. There it is. Baptizing them. Jesus is saying this is important. Not only did Jesus submit to baptism, and He was sinless, He was without sin, but He wanted all righteousness to be fulfilled, so He said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to set you an example. And then He says, now go make disciples, baptizing them. Now this is where the script changed. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That was brand new stuff. The Son, what was he basically saying? I'm God. I'm part of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So He said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it is baptism is a sign of God's covenant with us. Secondly, baptism is acknowledged, and this is where you... beyond infant baptism, as a believer, it's acknowledged through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. I don't really know why, because it's really, I have found it to be a very freeing thing in my own life, but for some reason our culture hates that word repentance. I mean, we just don't like that, because that repentance seems to say, I got problems. I got problems. I need help. Help me. And we don't like that. We like everything. It's like, hey, I choose. It's my choice. I'm going to choose what's right and what's wrong. And who are you to tell me that this is wrong and so forth? But it's very clear. We see it over and over and over that to come to faith in Christ, it begins with repentance. We see after in Acts chapter 2, I'm kind of walking through some different stories of baptisms as I walk through this sermon today. But in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit has been sent, which we know is Pentecost, and the disciples began to convey the gospel in native tongues of the different people that were in the city, and Peter preached the first sermon. He shares the gospel. And here's the end of it, verse 36, Acts 2, 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? So do you hear that they received the gospel and they were convicted? It's like, oh my gosh, we did. We killed the Son of God. We are with our very sin. And what their response is, what shall we do? And here's what Peter said. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you. It's for your children. There it is. And for all who are far off, and for all whom the Lord our God will call. And guess what? We're in one of those categories. It's for us. So when we're convicted and we ask, what should I do? God is responding, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Third thing, baptism, it's offered to you and your whole household. And I want to say this, if you don't think you are worthy to receive the gift of baptism and salvation through Christ, you are a perfect candidate for it. Because we don't, if we think we got our act all together and I don't need any of that, then God's still got some work to do with us. When we come, when we are broken, when we feel... I love the way Paul says it in Romans. He says, what a wretched man I am. He understood that outside of Christ, he was just a wretched man. And then he goes on to say, who will save me from this bondage of death? Thanks be to God, Jesus Christ will. So it's offered to you, and if you're a sinner, you're a great candidate. And to your whole household. Paul and Silas are in Acts. They are in jail. They've been in prison for sharing the gospel, and they're chained up. And the people that put them in prison are saying to the guards, "Hey, watch these people closely. You know, don't let anything happen." And Paul and Silas were praising God, and the earth began to shake, and their chains fell off. And the jailer is thinking, "Oh my gosh, they're gonna execute me," because he's thinking that they have escaped. And so he draws his sword and he's fixing to take his own life. And Paul shouted to the jailer, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs," here's the same question that was asked in Acts chapter 2, "what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And so they didn't. Now, again, I'm not trying to convince you today that you need to run out and find every infant you can to be baptized. I'm just saying that Paul and Silas didn't say, "Well, how old are the people in your family? Do you think they would confess Christ or what?" No, he said to the jailer, he said, "Repent." He said, "Call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on him, and you and your household will be saved." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. I don't know how old his family was. I don't know how many children he had. I just know his whole family was baptized. I'll tell you what, I will say this. I know I've seen it so many times. I know, and men, I'm going to talk to you for just a second. Ladies, you're welcome to listen. Men, a godly changed man can transform a family. Hello? Anybody listening? Can transform marriages, can transform relationships with children, can bring in a peace and a joy into a household. We need godly men to step up. We do. Our world needs it desperately. That's not belittling the contributions of our ladies. What I'm saying to you is most of you ladies already have your act together. I'm serious. I see it all the time, women that are having to come to church by themselves or they're the spiritual leader in their family. Man, we need to get our act together, man. We need to press into the Lord. This jailer, because of the decision he made that night, transformed his family. Boom. I got a new family. Baptism is, fourthly, our response to the good news of Jesus Christ. Like I said, too many times I think people hear from the church, they hear like, well, you got to say this prayer, check. You got to get wet, and you got to go all the way under. There ain't none of this, just water on the head step. Check. And then try to be good. Check. And you're in. It doesn't work that way. You know, there's a passage where Jesus is talking about at the end of times that he'll be, people will come up to him and they'll say, man, didn't I do all these wonderful things? Didn't I feed the hungry? And didn't I do it? Didn't I teach Sunday school? Or maybe it doesn't say that, but that's kind of what it's talking about. Didn't I work at the food pantry? Didn't I go on mission trips? Didn't I go to church? Didn't I do all these things for you, Lord? And you know what the Lord says to them? I never knew you. I never knew you. You did. You were busy. You did all these things, but I never knew you. Now, I'm not sure I've ever preached on this, on the Ethiopian eunuch, but I talked about a nude baptism, so I might as well talk about the Ethiopian eunuch. Listen to this in Acts chapter 8. Listen to this passage of Scripture. I think I've got most of it listed there in your bulletin. Now, angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So he's seeking God. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Now notice, he's worshiped and he's reading God's word, but he still doesn't know what he's doing. He still doesn't know who he's even reading about. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. I love this response. How can I unless someone explains it to me? Uh-oh. Anybody listening? How can I understand unless somebody explains it to me? I think he might be talking about us. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For this life was taken, his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Don't you love it? As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And listen to the eunuch. He's just heard the gospel. And the eunuch said, look, here's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. You know, this is this scripture that he's referring to, that the eunuch was reading, very precious scripture to me. It's Isaiah 53 is where it comes from. And Isaiah wrote these words some 700 or 800 years before Christ was born. And see if this sounds like Christ. He was pierced for our transgressions. You know, when they came to break Jesus' legs on the cross so that to speed up his death, they saw that he was already dead. But to make sure, what'd they do? They pierced his side. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought you and I peace was upon him. His punishment brought us peace. And by his wounds, you and I are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Friends in Christ, that's the gospel. We're sinners. The punishment for sin is death. And right before that punishment was carried out, the judge raises the gavel and he's fixing to swing it down and pronounce death to you and I. And Jesus stops his arm. And he says, wait, I know Jeff is guilty. I know he deserves death. But I want to pay it for him. And he said that about you as well. That's the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. The response over and over, I just pulled a handful of examples. You can read on and on and on examples about baptism. But the thing that's consistent is we come in repentance, proclaiming our faith in Jesus. And then our response is to be baptized. That's the sign of what he's done for us. So I know I've had a few of you have said that you want to be baptized today. And I want to make that invitation to all of you. You know, many of you have been baptized, and you don't need a 1,000-mile checkup. You don't need a 50,000-mile spiritual overhaul. Because his baptism is once and for all. You don't have to do it again. But I know we have at least one that I'll talk more about here in a minute that was baptized as an infant and really has felt convicted and wants to reaffirm that baptism this morning. And that's okay. But I just want you to know, it's like if you've been baptized, if you've placed your faith in Christ, you don't need to come and kind of go, well, yeah, but I've probably done some not so godly things since then, so I probably ought to do that again. That's not how it works. The blood of Jesus has no expiration date. But if you are a believer, especially if you're a believer in Christ and you've never been baptized, or perhaps you've never placed your faith in Christ and you want to do that this morning, I know some others are coming in just a moment. So I invite you to come. If you're like, I don't have the right clothes, man, just take the stuff out of your pockets and take your shoes off and just jump in. The water's fine. We got plenty of towels. So as I want to invite our praise team to come up, and I'm going to pray. Let me tell you one thing. We have an enemy. His name's the devil. And we have an enemy, and he uses all sorts of little tricks to keep us away from Christ. One of them is embarrassment, shame. It's like, well, people might not know that, or might think, well, you've been in church all these years, like you've never been baptized. Well, it's okay. And I'm just reminded, Jesus, he says, come to me. I can just see him holding his arms out to us. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. If you're just tired, you've never made that step. He just says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And that, if you've done it before, isn't that rest good? It's just good. So as a praise team sings for us in just a moment, we worship together. What I want you to do, if you're wanting to be baptized this morning, I want you to come forward, because I know there's already going to be some coming. The white sheet there in your seat pocket in front of you, please, because I don't know, if we got 10 people, don't put the pressure on me to make sure I get all my names right and everything. Please put your name, even if I know you, please put your name, and then come forward and I'll talk to you in just a moment. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for dying for our sake. We thank you that the punishment that brought us peace, you were willing to take. Just because you love us, that's it. It's not because we have anything to offer you. It's just because you love us. Holy Spirit, move on us here. Convict hearts. Change our lives this morning. Move in power, Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Little Austin Taylor is bringing his parents with him today, his family, his sisters, to receive infant baptism. And you're going to keep his clothes on, right? Awesome. The kids are going, what? So parents, I ask you, y'all are presenting him as Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And you covenant this morning to raise this little guy to know that and to know who he is in Christ. Amen. Austin, I'm going to put a little bit of water on your head, okay? All right. Austin, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Austin. I thank you for this family. I thank you that you are right in the middle of this family. I pray that this little guy would grow up. He would grow up as a godly man. He would grow up as a warrior for Christ. Bless him, bless his family, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, amen. I've got some more around the back, so y'all just stay right where you are. This requires probably a little explanation. Naomi has been a follower of Christ probably her whole life. Mm-hmm. And she was baptized as an infant, but she has felt a conviction. We've talked really for several months now that we've talked about that she wanted to reaffirm that baptism now as an adult. And she understands that the blood of Christ has no expiration date. But we just want to reaffirm that today, that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and reaffirm that through baptism. So even though you've answered these questions before, I ask you again, Naomi, you repent of your sin and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want to reaffirm, recommit that baptism today. Amen. If you'll sit right there, hold your nose. Reaffirm your baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there for a second. I'm going to pray for you. You want to come in? Corey was hiding around the corner there. Father, I thank you. I have seen such a servant in Naomi. I know that you reside in her heart, God. I pray that this would just, Father, affirm that, affirm who she is in you, that you would, Father, that she would just live the rest of her days just with an awesome peace, that you are her Savior and that she is your child. Continue what you already are doing in her, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Is Jeff next? Jeff, come on up, buddy. If you want to stand right down there for just a second. This is Jeff Beatty. This is Corey's brother-in-law. He's here from out of town and actually saw this opportunity as a great, maybe a great opportunity from the Lord. He's been wanting to be baptized. He has already professed his faith in Christ. But, Jeff, I ask you again, as you come to receive baptism this morning, do you repent of your sin?
I do.
And do you wish to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
And you wish to be baptized in that faith?
Yes, I do.
Okay, if you will sit there. And Corey has been instrumental in his walk with the Lord, and he is going to assist me with this. If you'll kind of hold your nose so you don't get water up your nose. Jeff, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've got to get that front hair there. We don't want any sinful hairs on the front of your head. Let me pray for you, Jeff. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for Jeff. I thank you that he has said yes to you, and you have long ago said yes to him. Fill him with your Holy Spirit, God. May this, we drive a stake in the ground today, God, and we say this day is different. This day is significant. And I pray, God, that you raise him up as a mighty warrior for you. That Father, that just anything that's in his heart that you want to be different, Father, just transform his heart. We thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that saves him and for the love of Jesus in his name. Amen.
Amen.
There'll be a towel out there for you. Rebecca, are you back there?
Yes.
Come on out. Rebecca has been coming to our church now for several months and comes this morning to receive Jesus officially. How about you hold those?
Yep.
To receive, just if you'll stand for just a second while I talk. I'd like to talk, so you're going to notice that. Rebecca comes to officially receive Jesus as her Lord and Savior, and we're excited about that, Rebecca. Very excited about that. So I ask you the same questions that I've asked them is, do you repent of your sin?
Yes.
Do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And would you like to be baptized in that faith?
Yes.
Amen. If you will sit and hold your nose. Rebecca, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there. I'm going to pray for you. Father, thank you for dying for Rebecca. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you, Father, for this sign of baptism. I pray, God, that you would send your Holy Spirit. You would fill her with your Holy Spirit, that she would, God, just give her incredible peace. I know, Father, that she has some loss in her life in the last couple of years, and I know that she is, Father, just needing that peace in her life. So bless her with that. Give her all the fruit of your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Was there anybody else back there? All right, church, I'm going to give you one last chance. Anybody else this morning? The water's fine. It's warm. Jesus is even better. Anyone else? You see anybody moving out there? No, it's like at an auction. Nobody wants to raise their hand. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Go in his peace. Go and tell someone, church. We are dismissed. God bless you.